你是其实All of the ground He is seeking sand
Ancient words
Ever true Changing me And changing you We are God With open heart For every ancient word depart
ancient word
ever true changing me and changing you
we have come
with open heart oh
Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Blessed be your name.
Amen.
Thank you for your love and faithfulness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for another opportunity to worship at your feet and to learn at your feet. Open our understanding. Bring so much light into our spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Please, let's take our seats. I want to welcome every one of us this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will strengthen us. The month of May will be a month of testimony for us in the name of Jesus. For some time now, we'll be discussing on a series we titled The Coming of the Saints. And by the grace of the Lord, we have been able to see by the Spirit of the Lord, God has been able to reveal His agenda for us even at this period. He has been able to open our mind and open our understanding by revelation to what is on the calendar of God. And I've said it before in our previous teaching that before the coming of Christ, we have the coming of the saints. And as a saint in Christ, how prepared are you for what God is about to do in these last days? How prepared are you as an individual, as a minister of the gospel? In whatever field you find yourself, you are going to be useful. You may be a banker, you may be a doctor, you may be a tailor. It is a revival that is beyond the four walls of the church. Is going to cut across all the walks of life. So whatever you are doing, be you an IT expert, God is going to use your, this is the time God is going to use whatever you have, whatever talent you possess, whatever, you know, or profession you find yourself in, God is going to use you, you know, beyond what you think. There's going to be miracle in the marketplace through the hands of the saints. Praise God. And last week, we were able to see the different restoration that has happened as spoken from the book of Acts, chapter 3, and from verse 21, which is our anchor scripture. Acts chapter 3, verse 21 says, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. And Apostle Peter prophesied by quoting what the prophets in the Old Testament said, that Jesus will be taken up to heaven until the restoration of all things. And what are the things, as we have discussed in our previous teaching? It is the biblical truth that went void during the dark age of the church. When is the dark age of the church? The dark age of the church was when the Roman Empire took over the leadership of the church, took the Bible away from the church, and certain doctrines that were established by the apostles and the prophets of the early church were completely written off, like speaking in tongues was taken out. So some of these biblical truths were brought back through different apostles, through different prophets and generals that God used. We saw men like Martin Luther. And I want to correct some of the impression I made in my last teaching. It is not Martin Luther King, it's Martin Luther. I was, repeatedly saying Martin. It was when I listened to the message, I was repeatedly saying Martin Luther King. It's Martin Luther. Martin Luther King was the man that pioneered the liberation of the blacks in America. He is called Martin Luther King Jr. The man that pioneered the restoration, the first restoration that brought about direct access to God and repentance, is called Martin Luther. So note that. Hallelujah. I thank the Holy Spirit for reminding me. I thought about it. I was going to let you know. And so we saw, men like John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and John Knox, men of different capacity that God used to bring restoration. After that, we saw the Holiness and Evangelical Restoration, after the Protestant Restoration, which is by Martin Luther. And we saw the Classical Pentecostal Restoration by Charles F. Farmer and W.H. Simon that happened in America. In Azusa Street, where there was restoration of the biblical truth of speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was taken out during the dark age of the church. And thank God that all this restoration, one after the other, God brought them back to the church so that the church can, be fully ready. If you look at the Bible, let me show you a scripture. The Holy Spirit does flash my spirit with that scripture as I'm talking now. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Let's look at it from verse 26. Let's look at it from verse 24. He said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, and even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. Verse 26 said, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the reason, Jesus brought about all the biblical truths that, were taken out in the dark age, because the church should be sanctified and be cleansed with the washing of water by the word. So the restoration of this biblical teaching was preparing the church for the bridegroom who is coming to take the bride. Are you getting me? Jesus is that bridegroom. The Bible describes, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any of such thing, should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. And so this is the plan of Christ for the church, that the church will be complete, whole in sound doctrine. Will be complete in sound doctrine. And all of this doctrine we saw, after the classical Pentecostal movement, we saw the Lateran charismatic movement by Oral Roberts, men like Kenneth Hagin. They brought about the teaching and the biblical truth of laying of hands for divine healing, and the message of faith for health and prosperity. Praise the Lord. And I show you the prophetic and the apostolic movement by men like Paul Kane, Bill Hammon, Cindy Jacobs. Some of these people are still very much alive. Peter C. Wagner, that some of them God have used to restore the fivefold ministry in his place. The Lord is helping us in the name of Jesus. Today we are going to be looking at under this teaching, the coming of the saints, what I call activation. Say after me, say activation. Say it like somebody that is being activated. Say activation. Yeah. Activation means to bring someone into the place of full manifestation of the grace and the gift and the calling of God upon his life. Activation means to stir up the gift that is in you, the calling of God upon you, the anointing of God, to bring it into full expression and manifestation. Today we are going to be looking at activation of the saints' ministry. How will the saints come into the full expression of what God has designed for them, which is the last restoration that will happen before the coming of Christ? How will this happen? Will God just pick men on the street and start using them? No. God has order. God has a way of doing things. He doesn't do things anyhow. And so activation is going to happen. Already Jesus set a structure. Jesus has a structure in place for the activation of the saints. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 10 precisely, the Bible says he ascended on high, he took captivity captive, and he brought gifts unto men. Jesus already has the structure in place that we activate the ministry of the saints. Like I told you, every saint has a ministry. You may not be a pastor, you may not be in the office of a prophet, you may not be in the office of an apostle, but as a saint in Christ, you have a ministry to deliver your portion. And verse 11 says, he gave some to be apostles. Among the saints, he called some. The gift of Christ to the saints are men. He gave some apostles, some to be prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, and some teachers. If you read, you will see where he says, for the edifying, the equipping, the perfecting of the saints. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says he gave all of these offices so that the saints can be perfected. If you are a saint here, shout hallelujah. Yeah, I've given you the definition of a saint. A saint is somebody that has been called out of darkness, a chosen person that has been called to manifest the light of God even among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers. Shout hallelujah. And so we saw that the primary assignment of all the offices in the fivefold ministry is to perfect. And that word perfect means to bring to maturity. Say after me, say maturity. Yeah, to build the saints, to grow up the saints. Now for this last restoration, which is the coming of the saints, for it to happen, the ministers in the fivefold ministry must begin to see the saints as their primary focus. Every pastor must hear this. Every apostle, every prophet must hear this. It is time we become saint-oriented. Not title-oriented, not anointing-oriented. We become saint because the purpose why Christ set up the fivefold structure, which is the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the evangelical, and the teaching office, is that the saint be perfected. And if you are not careful, the devil attract you as a minister in the fivefold ministry. Many ministers are distracted by the anointing. Some are distracted by the title. Some are distracted by the reward. It is time we become saint-oriented. To be saint-oriented means whatever we are doing should be targeted at perfecting the saint. Are you starting? Is the Lord giving you a ministry to the widows? It is to perfect the saints who are in that group. Is God giving you a ministry to the students? It's not for you to gain influence. It is not about your influence. It is about him. Say, it is about him. It's not about the influence of an apostle. It's not about your fame as a prophet. It's not about you. It's you are not the focus. The focus is
the saints being the reason why we are at work. Now listen to me. As I was studying, I wrote this down. Said it is time the ministers become saint oriented and Christ centered. Write it down. Said minister in the fivefold ministry. Are you called a pastor? Are you called to be an apostle? Are you called to be a pastor? Are you called to be a teacher? Your primary focus now, because what is about to happen has a lot to do with the coming of the saints. Your primary focus and assignment, even at this moment, is to become saint-oriented and Christ-centered. What is that? Introducing the saints to Christ, such that when you show them Christ to a point, if you go further in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, he said that for the perfecting of the saint, look at it, for the work of the ministry, meaning that the saints may engage in the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is the reason you are in office. It's not to ride cars. I want to disabuse the mind of many ministers in the fivefold ministry. We are not in this to build house. We are not called into the fivefold ministry to ride car. Unbelievers ride cars. Unbelievers build houses. We are in it. The primary assignment is perfecting the saints. Now, you can be doing that in perfecting the saints. The reward may come. But listen, that the reward is not our primary focus. We are not in ministry to become famous. We are not in ministry to become celebrity. This is the distraction that may delay the last restoration. Because if the men in the fivefold ministry did not understand the structure that Jesus divided himself into people, listen to me, Jesus has all the offices in him. And so when he was to ascend, like Elijah ascended and gave his garment unto Elisha. Now when Elisha gave his garment, it was one man he gave, Elisha. When the same thing, when Jesus was ascended, the Bible says he took captivity captive, ascended on high and brought gift. So when he was ascending, Jesus himself is the greatest apostle, is the greatest prophet, is the greatest teacher, is the greatest pastor, he's the greatest evangelist. So for him to leave a structure on earth to keep the saints growing and preparing them for his coming, he distributed the gifts among men. It is the greatest privilege. If you are called into fivefold ministry, it is the greatest privilege anyone can have. You are a direct employee of Jesus. He pays you. I was hearing one day, I said, I am one of the greatest joy I have in my life. It's not because I worked as a professional banker. Listen, my greatest delight and excitement in life is that I was called into one of these offices. And listen, you must not take this for granted. You must not take this. And I've said this before. It's not all the body. It's not all the saints that will be called into this ministry. Not all. It's not all that will be an apostle. Apostle Paul was explaining it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, "We can all be an apostle? Can all of us be prophets? Can all of us be pastors? Can all of us be teachers? Can all of us be miracle workers?" He said, no. He gave different men different capacities. Now, Jesus dividing himself into men in different capacity, the central focus is that you introduce the saints to him. Because it is when the saints see him that they are revealed. Shout hallelujah. So, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus. Listen to me. Whatever you are teaching as a minister in the fivefold ministry, if it is outside of Jesus, you have defeated the purpose why you are giving that ministry. Look at it. Very clear. Clear and direct English. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, that you will introduce to them the revelation knowledge. That was why Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. When I heard of your love in among brethren and of your faith in Christ, I cease not to make mention of you in prayer, giving thanks that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. So, you are not to teach yourself to the people. You are to teach him, Christ. Look at it. Why? Why should you teach Christ? He says, unto a perfect man, meaning until they come to maturity, until the saints are fit, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, the men in fivefold ministry must become saint-oriented and Christ-centered. This is our assignment. Our primary assignment is not to build churches. It is good to build churches, to build facility. But listen to me. If you don't build the people, your facility is a waste. If you have a seating capacity that sits close to 5,000 people, 10,000 people, if the people are not built, it's a waste of money. I remember I was sharing with a man, and a man of God, you know, I wouldn't want to mention him. And I was asking him that, why are they asking people to pay money for titles? Why are they asking people for you to get a particular title? You have to pay an amount of money. And he was justifying it by saying it is a way of raising money to build the church structure, to build the church project. And I told him, I said, if you use their money to build a project and you don't build them, they will destroy the project you have built. Praise God. And so, as we begin to see that the fivefold ministry must understand their place, their design to serve, not to be served. Listen to me. If you are in the fivefold ministry, don't become a semi-god. Your assignment between now and the coming of the saints is to serve the saints. Not telling them to serve you. Now, many people have taken fivefold ministry as an office. You sit down and people serve you. People serve you in quotes. Serve means you use people to get what you want. You use people to get your desire accomplished. You use people to accomplish your own vision. You use them and dump them. No. The fivefold ministry. Remember what Jesus was talking to disciples in the book of Matthew? He said, if any of you wants to be a leader, the leader he was talking there was talking about the governmental office. If anybody wants to lead in any of this fivefold ministry, what Jesus said, he must first be the servant. If you can't serve people, you are not so qualified for this assignment of the coming of the saints. You must be ready to serve your time, serve your money, serve your talent. Yes. You will feed them with your money, serve them with your time, give them all that you can serve, because something bigger than you is about to happen. It's a privilege. Say it's a privilege. Yeah. And so, the fivefold ministers must invest in the growth of the saints. Because it is when they grow up that we are going up. Until they grow up and they manifest their purpose, there is no rapture. What will delay rapture? Listen to me. What will delay rapture of the church is when the men in fivefold ministry are not perfecting and maturing the saints so that the saints can enter into the harvest and bring about the last harvest of the souls before the rapture. If that is not happening, there is no going up. Until there is the growing up of the saints, there is no going up. Shout hallelujah. So, the assignment rests on us. The ball is in our court. Now listen to me. Any opportunity you are given as a fivefold minister now to teach people, to impact people. I'm going to show you how different offices will impact the saints in their different capacity and functions so that the saints can grow up. Shout hallelujah. So, it's important that we play our role in the fivefold ministry. This is to the pastors. And for the saints, listen to me. Haven't you noticed lately that there's a wave of rebellion in the body of Christ? Somebody who is barely 5 years old in Christ will just hope one day and just rise against his pastor and say, God has called me to start church. It is an agenda of the devil to take some people out of this program. Some go as far as insulting the minister that fed them on social media. They go and say, there's no need to go to church. Listen to me. This is an established, this is a doctrine of the apostles, the foundation apostles, the apostles of the Lamb, that they will gather together and fellowship. All of a sudden, there is this rebellious spirit, disloyalty in the body of Christ today. Now, if the saints don't submit themselves for tutelage, for teaching, there will be delay in the manifestation. So there must be submission from the saints. You must be ready to submit yourself, because the things that will start happening through some people, if you are not submissive, you will think God is calling you to start a church. By the time you go to the office and you shake two people and they tell you, as soon as you shook me, I felt the power of God moving. You say, yes, that is church. Let me go and start one. That's not church. You must give yourself wholly to, you must submit yourself under a teacher, under a pastor. No matter how the anointing, how the talent becomes strong on you, you must submit the whole of yourself. Let's see a scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and from verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Now, anywhere you see the elder in the Bible, is talking about the people in the governmental office, the people in the fivefold. Elders, especially in the epistles, are referring to apostles, prophets, teachers. He says, submit yourself unto the elders. And ye all of you, submit one to another, and be clothed with humility. Let me tell you, number, say, be clothed with humility. Please say it. Say, be clothed with humility. Listen, one of the danger in church today is pride. Pride. There's the spirit of pride that is destroying the saints in the church. When you begin to see yourself as I have attained. Can you imagine when Apostle Paul was saying, I am still striving. I am still striving. Hoping that I will attain to the resurrection. The power in the resurrection. Listen to me. If you are not humble, you will not be counted for this revival. For this restoration. Because God will not just handpick people who are rebellious, who are vagabonds, who just move out and do things anyhow. Listen to me. He said, clothe yourself with humility. Meaning you must be deliberate about being humble. Clothe. He didn't say, I will clothe you. Clothe yourself. Be humble. Submit yourself. I have issue with church members, believers, who don't submit under any minister. I have issues with them. They will just come up one day and say, I have started my own ministry. Listen to me. Run from any ministry that starts from fight. Breaking out by fighting somebody. Very soon, they will fight him too. Run away from anybody who just come up. He doesn't have history. Just jump up one day and say, God has spoken to me. It's easier to say God has spoken. Pride is killing many believers in the body of Christ today. He said, clothe yourself with humility. Submit yourself under the elders. It is Christ that designed the structure. It's not a factor of age. The person God is putting as an apostle, as a prophet over your life, you may be older than him. As a pastor, it's not a matter of age. This is something some believers are refusing to understand. That this has nothing to do with educational background. You may know more than your pastor or your prophet or your apostle or your teacher. Listen to me. Drop your certificate. Drop your ego. See what is happening when you go around, when you see young ministers who prophesy, you see competition. Now they begin to compare themselves with their pastors. I prophesy, he too prophesy. I can start my own. Lately somebody called me. He said, I want to start my own church. You know, the way people talk about, it's like they want to start a business. Like, okay, I'm working with somebody, he's selling shoe. I want to open my own shoe shop. That's the way they see ministry. Submit yourself. Listen to me. The emergence and the upsurge of many ministries we see today are a product of pride and rebellion. A product of pride and rebellion. What is he saying that I can't say? What is he teaching that I can't teach? Listen to me. God saw you before he called. He saw you when he went to call him. Miriam was the elder sister of Moses. Miriam. She was the one that orchestrated how baby Moses was put in basket and led him to the River Nile, where he was taken by the daughter of Pharaoh. When it got to her head that she was older than Moses, and she began to see herself as one of the prophets, they will never forget that in Israel. That day they will never forget. And the Bible says, God spoke from the cloud and said, how dare you? How do you think Moses is your mate in ministry? See, even though I speak to you by visions, he said, I talk to Moses face to face like a man speaks with his friend. I want to beg you, beloved in the Lord, if you are hearing me online or you are hearing me, don't allow pride take you out of this move. You know, we like praying a lot that God use me for this next revival. Lord, bring the anointing on my life. Use me. Listen to me. Deal with pride in your life. It's easy for God to use people. Listen to me. It is an empty vessel that is ready to be filled. But when the vessel is filled with all manner of things, it cannot be filled. I want to beg you in the name of God, if there is any time to sit under teachings, if you are a saint or a believer listening to me, you don't have a church, a local church where you go. You may have an outreach ministry. You may have a ministry to students. If you don't have a pastor, you submit, truly submit yourself. Not hypocritical submission. True submission. If you don't have such pastor over your life, you are not counted. You cannot be counted for it. For what God is about to do. Yes. Because it is God's order, it is not man's order, that he will use the men in the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, to perfect the saints. Now, the saint that will not submit himself cannot be edified, cannot be perfected. So he deletes himself from the program. Forget all this crazy hype in churches today. There is difference between talent and divine mandate on your life. You can be talented and not have the mandate to demonstrate your talent. You will make noise and nothing will happen. Social media has made everybody a pastor now. Somebody was saying something. Okay, I was sharing with my wife. I said, church members in this pandemic that should follow their church ministers online, instead of them following and taking notes, they just started ministry. Is it not to? I have data, so they just open. You see, now as I'm about preaching, he's supposed to be under a teaching. He is teaching others. That's what has happened lately. Everybody all of a sudden became people that should sit down and be waiting for when their pastor will come online. They have gone online before their pastor. They are positioning themselves in the office they were not called into. Listen, the greatest strategy that can follow a man is to step into a shoe God did not give him to wear. You have put your leg into a catastrophe. It's to step into, and listen, you don't know how dangerous it is. For you not to be called into an office and assume the office and say, I heard You know, a man of God was telling me about some people that were to be ordained a prophet, and they were asking them, how do you know God called you to be a prophet? Say, I used to dream. When demon come, listen. Submit. If I will stay on this alone, because this pride is, listen, do you know what the Bible says? It says God gives grace to the humble. God is the one resisting the pride, not the devil, the proud. It is God that is pegging the progress of the proud. It's not the devil. So who will he go to help him? If you go online now, like today is Sunday, you see all kind of people ministering what they don't know, teaching what they were not taught. It's our generation. I see people who were never students who want to be teachers. And so they will go and start countering what their pastor is teaching. And say, as I'm talking, it's the Holy Spirit that is talking through me. So easy now to lie on the Holy Ghost and say, I hear him told me. The Holy Spirit says, if you share this program, it will give, before the end of today, you will see 5,000 in your account. If you share this program 5,000 times, when you start hearing such things, you know where they come from. They cannot be traced to any minister in the fivefold ministry. They are on their own. No coverage on their life. That's why you see young men dying anyhow. When you carry a load that is bigger than you, are alone. Yes. Praise God. Are you learning something? Submit yourself. This is the message for the saints. Look at all of a sudden, there's a spirit of rebellion that just entered the church. All of a sudden, you start bringing ministers. You see young men who just got born again. I heard that a student in Obafemi Awolowo University, who happens to be the president of his fellowship, he was only a president of a fellowship, he came and was teaching them that Baba Adeboye is not deep in the word. That is a baby Christian. Because Baba Adeboye taught about tithe. And you know, so all kind of people. Look, some of you don't know that this is an agenda of the devil to take people out of the place where they should be fed. Do you know what he told John, Peter? He said, John, Peter, did you love me? He said, yes. Master, you know I love you. He asked him again. That should be John chapter 20, 21. Do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. The assignment of the ministers in the fivefold ministry is to feed. But when a sheep runs with a goat, he will not be available to be fed. He will grow wild like a goat. Settle down, sit down, learn, be humble, submit yourself. God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. God, do you know the meaning of God resists the proud? He doesn't want to have anything to do. Even the revival. He has nothing. To resist you mean, I don't want to have anything to do with you. He resists the proud. But he gives grace. Submit yourself. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. And all of you one subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The time is about now. The time is about now. That he may exalt you. Now, when he says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God is the structure God put in place when Christ was ascending. That is his hand. The fivefold ministry given by Jesus are the structure of the representative God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, then the fivefold ministry. That's the order. In the church, that's the order. God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, followed by, that's the governmental order. But today, you hear somebody say, Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us.
there is order even in heaven. There is order.
When you begin to hear what the Holy Spirit is not telling your pastor, you begin to gain what we call defensive hearing. It's a spirit. What that spirit is targeted as doing is to ensure you are starved to death spiritually. Your pastor is preaching, you are hearing the opposite. It is only the mistake where he spoke wrong English, where he quotes wrong scripture, that is the only place you hear. You will not write it. Some do to a point that when they are inside church, as soon as their pastor announced the title of his message, is to go to Google and start going to Google to search the things he didn't say well. And after service, I say, "That's our pastor. I'm just managing the church." However, you are going nowhere. There's order in heaven. The way there's order in family, this kingdom is a family. In the family, the husband is the head. Whatever make a woman say, "I want to take the place as the husband," she's challenging the divine order. When a saint begins to see himself, me, if not for the kind of offering we give in that church, go with your offering. If God has blessed you materially, don't let it destroy the plan of God. Because some people now, they have become church sponsor. Say, "If I move out of that church, the pastor know what they will be missing monthly." It's a privilege. If you are not there, another person will do it. It is time to serve yourself. Put yourself under a minister of God. Truly called into that office. And be tutored. Don't allow pride kill you. Don't allow pride delete you from this program. Shout hallelujah. Apostle Paul, in his writing, almost all the epistles, he was writing to address the saints. All. Let me show you a few. Because of our time, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and from verse 1, let me show you. He was addressing, meaning the writings in the epistles were direct message to the saints. Look at it. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. This is an apostle addressing the saints. They have different roles, different placements. So, our target as fivefold minister, the way Apostle Paul all his writing was targeted, was addressed, was to get the attention of the saints. There are only two he wrote to ministers. He wrote to ministers in the fivefold ministry, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. Others he addressed. He addressed them to the saints. If you go on and go on, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, you will see Galatians 1 and verse 1. He was addressing. In some places he used brethren. In some places he used church. So we must know where our focus is. It's not the fame. It's not the title. It is too small for what God. What is title? What is fame? It's nothing. Build the saints. Invest in them. Teach them. That's why we do Bible studies. Bible studies not to come and compete Bible knowledge. Yes. Bible studies not to come and compete how much Greek language you know. It's to teach the people. Teach them until they equip them, perfect them until they come to maturity. That they will be so, fully represented anywhere. Christ will be so fully represented through them anywhere. Those are the kind of things, the kind of people God wants to use for this last restoration. And let me tell you something. Some of the biblical restoration that happened in the past few centuries or decades, Some of these teachings were not passed on to the next generation. That's why up to today, some people are still in the first restoration, the Martin Luther. They don't believe. Up to today, there are saints, believers in denominations that don't believe in speaking in tongues. How many of you know that? Yeah. Because some of the people in the fivefold ministry as at that time did not teach them these things. So until today, if you go to some church and begin to say, Lahambra has shaker, they say, hold him down. That's an evil spirit. After several years, several decades of the move of the Holy Spirit. And so we in the governmental, in the fivefold ministry must teach all this restoration so that the saints will be fully aware, like a soldier that is fully equipped, trained for the battle. Shout hallelujah. Look at the submission of Elisha. The Bible says, do you know who Elisha was? Elisha was a businessman. He had a farm where he had bullocks. Do you know how much they sell one cow now? He was that rich. And a man came and cast his mantle on him and said, follow me. He said, please, let me go tell my family. I will close this shop now and I will follow. He was a businessman. He was a rich man. He didn't see his riches. He didn't see his placement in the society. He followed Elijah like a donkey. The day Elijah was to be taken up, Elijah knew exactly when and where. He kept following. Elijah said, what do you want? Why are you following me? The challenge with many saints is that some people in 5 years, they have followed 5 pastors. And you will never get anything from any of them. You follow everywhere. Any new minister in town is my father in the Lord. Any new apostle is my mentor. Elisha kept following. He kept following. He got distracted by other younger prophets. They said, do you know today is the day your master will be taken? He said, don't worry, I know. Elisha came by River Jordan. He departed the river. Do you know, Elisha did not think of, how will I come back? He followed him in a dry ground. Any small challenge in a ministry, you have run. Some people cannot stay in a church for 3 years. Any small challenge, they are gone. Where are you? I have moved on. God says, I should move on. He kept following until the thing came upon him. He said, what do you want? You have followed me to this place. He said, I want 7 portions. Listen to me. Every miracle Elijah did, it was times 7 in the hands of Elisha. Why? He followed till the end. The same thing is about to happen. I want to beg you, anywhere you are listening to me, submit to your ministers. Shout hallelujah. Now, I'm going to be sharing with you how the functionality and how all these offices will play their role, so that when God puts you under a minister, you will know what role that minister is playing in your life. As a saint, you will know how to position yourself like Elisha to catch what God wants to put in you, to activate in you through a minister that God has placed you under. Now, let's start with the apostolic office. Those in the, how did they play their role in activation of the saints into their ministry, in perfecting the saints? How did they play their role? Apostles are known for special, assignment of starting a new thing. When God wants to start a new thing in a generation, He speaks to an apostle. Apostles are like pace setters. Apostles in the body. Now, quickly, let me quickly give you this as a disclaimer or as something to note. All of the people in this fivefold ministry cannot be boxed into a particular kind of anointing. Some people have thought that a pastor can only be pastoring and teaching. He can't see vision. No. You cannot box. That somebody is a pastor, he could have ability to prophesy, but he's still maintaining his office as a pastor. So you can't box. So some of the things I'm going to be saying here are primary function of delivery of some of this the people in these offices to the saints, in the activation of the saints into their ministry. Are you getting me now? So the apostles are pace setters. Look at the early church. They were the pace. All of them were called apostles. That is why we have the Acts of the Apostles. So apostles most often come in when God wants to start something new. And so they have this, they are specialized in the supernatural. They help to activate the saints in the power gifts. They most often, the apostle play the role of impartation. God wants to start something with you. God can lead you to an apostle. They lay the foundation of faith in the saints. They lay the foundation. Most often, apostles are people who go around starting churches. They usually don't sit on the church as a pastor. They have this grace of pioneering and a program in the mind of God. They are pioneers most often. So write it down. Apostles. So it's different for someone to be calling himself an apostle. I discover that like some 20 years ago, it became a popular thing for people to address themselves as pastors. You say, you know, I'm a pastor. Because in some 20, 30 years ago, there was this wave of prosperity that was coming into the ministry of the pastoral. Like 40, 50 years ago, if a lady comes home with a pastor and says, this is the person I want to marry, their family members will fight her. Because pastors are seen to be poor. But when the wave of prosperity started coming, everybody, all of a sudden, you know, I'm a pastor. People started calling themselves pastor. Later, we started hearing prophet. Everywhere you go, prophet. See, I'm a prophet. Prophet, doctor, major prophet, major prophet too. Prophet Bazooka, all kind of prophetic names. You know they don't know what they are saying. Major prophet, major Lekki, major prophet, Ibadan, major prophet. I mean, who called you into all that? And later we start hearing, lately, it's like some 5 years ago, apostle. Apostle everywhere. You see young guy, who should be in a convert class? Who should be in a foundation class in his church? He's already parading himself as an apostle. Go to campus, you see them. They have people who carry Bible for them, Bible carriers. Parading themselves around. Young men who should be under a pastor. Now he comes back from school. He cannot submit to his pastor because he's an apostle in school. How can an apostle submit to a pastor? So anything his pastor is saying, be like, no, that's not the Greek interpretation. That's not the Hebrew root word. That's why somebody in on campus will be saying, Baba Debo is a baby Christian. Because he's an apostle on campus. Praise God. So it's not about title. It's about, listen to me, you may never be given that title, but your fruit will show that you are an apostle. The result of what you are doing. Listen, this apostolic office, it is not seen by carrying a title or designing a suit and write apostle on it, or white garment and write most senior apostle. It is what you do. It is your result that speaks the office. The office is an evidence of the product and the fruit of your life. Apostle. It's not just call yourself because you are preaching and say, you know, everybody's now an apostle. I've seen people who I used to know. They used to be brother years ago. After some time, they started putting pastor. Maybe it was accidental. Later, I started seeing prophet. Now, they are putting apostles now. You are wondering how they are moving from those offices. As if the offices is room and parlor. Well, you can just open one door and enter the other.
See, when you go, you see them. Go today on Facebook, you go and see them there. See, you know, as from I'm speaking, an apostolic invasion is about to happen now. It's not mouth. It's the fruit of your works. It's not putting an apostolic invasion. You know, you see all kind of English. Apostolic storm. Apostolic bomb. All of that. Listen, it is by their fruits you will know. So you see pioneers, people who plant a revival in the heart of people. The apostles. Not people who just call themselves apostles by name. Or people who buy the apostolic title. Somebody who just got born again. Few years, 5 years in a church, they have ordained him an apostle. After some time, he start calling himself senior. Senior apostle. They won't stop at that. They go as far as most senior. And now I hear that there is a special, senior special apostle. And you have about 20 of them sitting in the church. People who should be pioneering revival everywhere. Planting something new. What they are planting is who goes into the chancel first. That is the apostolic lining. They line up. Who goes first? I am an apostle of 1980. No fruit, no result, no evidence, no product. That's what we call apostolic misplacement. Misplacement of priority. Praise God. Number two, the prophetic. How do the men or women in the prophetic activate the saints into their ministry? By bringing supernatural revelation, spiritual insight, vision, and impartation. And by doing that, activating of the gifts and the calling of the saints. Most often, people who are into the prophetic has this grace of teaching the saints in how to find themselves prophetically by divine revelation. That's why we have prophets in the church. They help to guide. Now, number one, I want you to write number one in the apostolic activation. Write govern. The apostles govern. They govern. They have this the governmental grace over churches, over the body. That was the role Apostle Paul played. He planted churches in Corinth, in Galatia, in Philippians. And he was receiving reports. He was writing. He was in prison writing. That's a government. He was a government over the church. When there was an issue on fornication, they wrote to him. He spoke as a government on behalf of God. Now, in the prophetic guide by divine insight. If you have a prophet over your life, one of the things, the part a prophet plays in your life is to guide you into what God wants you to be, your assignment, your calling, to activate the gifts in you. Now, listen to me. There is no saint that does not have a particular prophetic gift as outlined in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There is no believer that does not have any of these gifts from the Holy Spirit. And so one of the assignments of a prophet is to help you discover it through teaching, by divine revelation, by divine insight, through word of knowledge, through discernment. Are you getting me now? Through visions, because they have this grace to see into the spirit realm. And let me tell you this. Be careful of prophets. So-called prophets. Pseudo-prophets in our generation. There are all manner of prophets today. That somebody is parading himself as a prophet doesn't mean he's a prophet of the fivefold ministry. There are prophets of Christ. There are prophets of doom. There are prophets of the devil. They wear a robe that when you see them, you think they just finished having a meeting with angels. I was with a mechanic, one of my mechanics, he was working on my car and he was telling me of a prophet. That if I see him dress on a Sunday, you want to go before him and kneel down and say, pray for me. If you see, they dress to kill, to impress.
with all kind of perfumes. There are dangerous ones that are not in the office. They don't activate the saints. They deactivate the saints. That's what they do. They take what you have away from you, destroy, mislead you into what you should not go into. Tell you to go and marry a man you should not marry. We have seen a lot of marriages today in debts, messed up. Why? They met the wrong prophet. May you not meet the wrong prophet. But any saint who does not submit himself, it's a matter of time, you meet the wrong one. If God bring a prophet before you, will not submit yourself and learn. Out of rebellion, you meet the wrong ones. Because likes begat likes. You see, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3, let me show you 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians, rather, 14 and verse 3. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 14, 3 says, "But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." He that prophesies, he speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation and comfort. Now, a prophet can equally have the ability to teach the word of God. That's where you see exhortation. Are you getting me now? Exhortation. Now, let's look at the pastoral, because of our time. They have the ability to nurture, to stabilize, to grow and mature the saints through building of character, faithfulness, and family relationship in the local church. If you see Acts 20:28, you see how it describes how the pastor feeds the church. Pastors are usually the ones that sit upon a congregation. They nurture with the word of God. They teach. They build people in the word of God. They stay with them. They comfort them in the word of God, especially in the local church. That's how they activate. And number four, the evangelist. The evangelist have a special anointing to stir up the zeal for soul winning in the saints. They train the saints in soul winning. They have that ability. If you meet an evangelist for the first time, you feel like becoming an evangelist. He will talk you into, you want to follow him immediately and go into mission field. They have that ability to impact you, to stir your heart, to make you see every reason why you should win a soul every day. That is the part they play, you know, in the life of the saint. The teachers have the ability to teach the saint with all simplicity. If you meet a teacher, he will teach such that if a five-year-old person is there, the person will understand. They are given to enlighten and enabling the saint in the word of God. When you meet a teacher, the same scripture you have known for 5 years, if he start teaching it, it will be as if you have never read the Bible before. With such level of simplicity, Apostle Paul is one. He has this grace to teach. Praise God. And so the apostles govern, the prophets guide, the evangelists gather. Write it. Apostles, they govern. The prophets, they guide primarily. And I said earlier on, you can't box any of the people in these offices into a particular kind of anointing or gift. To gather, evangelists know how to gather. If you put them in the place of a pastor, they may scatter. All they know is to gather people, bring them. A pastor nurtures them. A teacher grows them. The work of a teacher is to grow. The work of a pastor is to guard. Apostles govern. Pastors guide. G-U-I-D-E. Evangelists gather. Pastors guard. Like a shepherd guards the sheep. G-A-U-R-D. Teachers grow. They grow you into the world. Grow. Teachers grow. Sorry. Teachers ground. They ground you. Teachers ground you in the word of God. I pray that the Lord, even in this last restoration of the saints' ministry, we count every one of us worthy of our different assignment in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow down your heads and talk to God and say, "God, let me not miss out. Let me not fall into the deception of the devil. Let me not fall into the deceitfulness of the devil to take me out of this agenda, to take me out of this program, to take me out of this plan that you have for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name.